It's Your Turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's Your Turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's Your Turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's Your Turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Well, hello there. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. Open talk to begin the program today. We'll be talking a little bit later about the Flying Tigers of World War II fame. Author Samuel Kleiner has written about the Flying Tigers. That'll be coming up later on the program today. Open talk to begin with at 283-2525. We've had to make some last-minute schedule adjustments, and we'll be doing that over the next few days, actually, here on the program because of course, the coronavirus. Who's not talking about it today, huh? Wow. If you've been home alone today or haven't been outside, maybe you haven't had anyone to talk to about this. Well, we can talk about it here on the air if you'd like to, 283-2525. If you have been out and about or at work, I know here at the radio stations, that's what everybody's talking about. I mean, small groups of people in the hallways and around the water cooler. Everybody's talking about the virus, COVID-19. Yesterday, just exploded in the afternoon and on into the evening. We had headline after headline, bombshell headline after headline. In fact, just as we were wrapping up the program yesterday, right around 1:30, I was mentioning that we were scheduled to chat today with Butler County Community College President Dr. Nick Neupower. Just as at that very moment, we were getting a phone call from his office saying that he could not be here. They were in the process of shutting down BC3, at least for a few days, and who knows, maybe longer. And then more and more schools, Slippery Rock University, Pitt, Penn State, CMU, Duquesne, today Carlo and Point Park, Cal U, Edinburgh. A lot of schools are on spring break right now. Slippery Rock University would be a good example. Penn State on spring break. And they're just advising students not to come back. Slippery Rock extending spring break for 2 weeks. That'll take it to almost the end of the month. And after that, no face-to-face classes. Everything will be done online till further notice. It's just a bizarre situation. It's almost surreal today. That was my thought as I came to work early this morning and we were getting ready to do the 5:30 news this morning. There was just a surreal quality about the day. The weather didn't help. It was foggy and gloomy. Thank goodness we've got some sunshine right now. Even that seems strange. Given the somber mood of the day, you know, sunshine. What's the sun doing out there on a day that's this somber? And, you know, everybody's just kind of walking on eggshells. I don't remember a feeling like this since 9/11. You know, the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and in Shanksville in Somerset County. That's the last time I can remember a feeling like this as the day wore on. 283-2525 is our number. At last report, the Penguins were still going to play tonight. We have any update from the NHL on that? No. There will be no fans if indeed they do play in Columbus. They've already banned the spectators. That'll be an unusual sound if indeed they play the game. Oh, you hear the slap of a wooden stick on a hard rubber puck? I don't know whether they're going to still play it or not. If they play, we'll have the game here on WISR. NBA suspending its season. Major League Baseball thinking, you know, are they going to go on with games that don't even count? Practice games? It's a very, very strange and uneasy situation. Well, let's go to the phone, see what the people have to say today. Our phone number is 283-2525. Hi, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn. You're on the air.
Thanks. I just have a couple things. One sure. is, when you had Dr. Love on, my radio went off at the time the question was, when warm weather comes, will this help? I didn't hear what he said. Do you remember?
This was Dr. Love?
I think it was from our hospital system. I thought his name was Love.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. That was... it wasn't on my program. That's why I had to hesitate for a minute.
I thought it was on your program. Well, then I guess you can't answer that.
No. That was he was on with Tracy. It's okay. It was the late morning a few days ago.
Oh, okay.
So I did not hear that, so I can't help you. But
okay, well, maybe someone will call in and they did hear it. And the other thing is, so many around here are not paying attention to being cautious. They're just buying things off the shelves. And I don't see anything wrong with being cautious. I really don't. I know we don't have it right here next door, but why not be cautious?
I agree with you. In fact, I found myself over the last 24 hours, every time I go to touch something, I pause.
Me too.
Whether it's a doorknob or a faucet, a water faucet, or anything. I mean, you just kind of stop and you think, you know.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about church services on Sundays. We're supposed to stay 3 feet away from another person. Not possible.
I hear you. I know.
It's up to the pastors and priests and whoever in charge to think that way. So we'll just go along with whatever happens and use our own heads.
Nice to talk with you today.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. 283-2525. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. You know, what about church services come the weekend, come Sunday? It's a situation that we've never experienced before. I certainly haven't, and I can't imagine too many people listening who have. As I said, it's surreal. It's like the day of the terrorist attacks on 9/11. And for those of you super seniors, what it was like on Pearl Harbor Day, you know, when you got the news that the Japanese had attacked Pearl Harbor. That was a Sunday morning. What must that day have felt like? I don't know. I wasn't around, and most of you weren't either, but that's the sort of a mood that I sense today. Do you feel that way? Should we be scared? I don't know about scared. Uncertain, for sure. Uncertain, a little tense. Absolutely. Where was I yesterday that I heard... I can't remember. There were so many things that happened yesterday about a woman who had a ritual for calming herself down whenever things just got too hectic and it felt like her head was about to explode. She would get a teacup from the back of her china cupboard that her grandmother had given her and brew up a pot of tea and sit down at the table and just calmly sip the tea to kind of ease her mind and let her calm down a little bit. I don't know whether that would work for me or not. I've got a little bit of tea in my cup right now. Drank so much coffee this morning. And I know tea has caffeine too. In fact, probably a little bit more than coffee does, but it's okay. Let me take a sip here. Calm myself down. 283-2525 is the number. Are you uneasy? Are you uncertain? Let's talk about it. 283-2525. We'll take a break. Back with more of the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR after these words.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening. Every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
This time of year, it's fish fry time at Michael's Restaurant. You can't beat the great beer battered fish with fries. You start looking forward to it the moment Lent arrives. Start your family tradition of enjoying fish fry dinners at Michael's Restaurant. That's Michael's Restaurant, with great homemade food all year long.
Welcome back, good friends. Well, we have a couple of notes just in from our newsroom. High school basketball fans, the PIAA, I understand that's the statewide governing body for high school boy and girl basketball. They've suspended the, for 2 weeks, is that what it is? They've suspended all of the state playoffs for 2 weeks. So in our case, that's Butler boys, North Catholic boys, North Catholic girls, Grove City boys are the only team still alive. 2 week suspension in the tournament. And the NCAA conference tournaments, like the Big Ten tournament, the ACC tournament, that's all been canceled for this week. Wow. Hi, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn. You're on the air.
Thank you.
Sure.
I'm almost 90 years old, and I know this is not as serious as what things are going on now. But when we were small and any child got the chicken pox, measles, or anything, the house was quarantined.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was a sign put on our front door so nobody would enter.
They
and
did.
And I'm sure the parents at that time was sort of upset about the time, too. So that was the way things were back then.
They did it with polio, too, back in the 1950s.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Quarantined the house. Yeah.
So it is a scary situation.
That's for sure. Well, listen, nice to talk with you today. Take care of yourself, okay?
Thank you.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 283-2525, our number. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hey, Dave. Good afternoon. It's Jack.
Yes. Hi, Jack.
That lady that called earlier about Dr. Love?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think, aren't most of Tracy's interviews on the podcast?
That's true. Yes, you can listen there, right? Yeah.
She should be able to go online and get it.
Excellent. Good point, Jack. Yeah.
Just happened to think about that.
Yeah, I made a note here to ask Tracy if she was still here. I don't know if she finished up the news about 15 minutes ago, but that's a good idea. Just check the podcast, yeah. How are you doing?
Just not bad. You know, sun shining today. Unfortunately, I'm at lunch and I have to go back into the office. So, it is nice to see the blue sky and feel the sun on our face.
Well, that's for
and,
sure.
And unfortunately, we're not going to be able to be marching on Saturday.
Yes, Jack is a member of the Ancient Order of Hibernians, Butler Chapter, as I am, and we were all set to march on the St. Patrick's Day Parade. But, hey, Jack, really, in the overall picture, that's small potatoes. That's nothing, you know.
Yeah.
Let's forget about that. Let's worry about people's health, you know.
Yeah. I think I heard that the New York parade, this will be the first time that they're not going to march in 250 years.
Yeah, 250 years. And
something like that.
Parade in Dublin, Ireland, has been canceled, too. In fact, I was just reading the Irish Times before I went on the air here about 20 minutes ago, and the Prime Minister of Ireland has just announced that all colleges, universities, all schools, and all child care centers throughout all of Ireland are going to immediately be shut down.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know.
That's going to change somebody's day for them.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks a lot. Enjoy the rest of your lunch.
Yep. Thanks, Dave. Have a good day.
Yep. You too. So long. 283-2525 is the number. Nice to have people listening on their lunch hour here on the program. Caller, thanks for waiting. I appreciate your patience. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn. You're on the air.
Patience is the one big thing I have, Dave.
Okay.
But this morning, we thought maybe you were starting to celebrate St. Patrick's Day a little early when you put the newspaper in the microwave instead of your coffee.
So I was telling my colleague Kate about that.
And I understand. You know, we're all off kilter right now.
Absolutely. I mean, I found myself a couple of times I dropped things today, and I'm thinking, Dave, what's wrong with you, you know?
Right. Your previous caller just mentioned about the podcast, et cetera. Now, first of all, I'm in my 70s. I am not online. I don't know how to do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So I get all my information from WISR, WBUT, the Butler Eagle, and TV.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the more information we have, I think, the more better that we'll be able to deal with what we have to deal with.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I missed the noon news. I've been away, and I've missed the noon news, so anything you can do to help us get up to date is hugely, hugely appreciated. Are you going to be able to have anyone on the radio from Butler Health Systems, from the community college, to give us the information that is available?
Well, we're working on that. The problem is so many organizations, so many places are in a state of flux. You know, they're just not quite sure what they're going to do. The community college is a perfect example. You know, suddenly
right.
Shut down for a couple of days at least, and we just. They don't know what they're going to do. We don't know what are going to do. Hopefully, at the very least, we'll be able to talk with some people on the phone, if not have them, you know, here in the studio personally. So
perfect. That's great. Okay.
We'll do our best.
Thank you, Dave.
Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
283-2525 is our number. Hi, caller. Dave here. Thanks for waiting. Go right ahead. It's your turn. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Dave. How are you?
I'm just fine. Nice to talk with you today.
Yes, thank you. I just question considering if this virus gets really out of hand and everything closes up and everybody has to stay home, we're going to, I would think, not have products to buy out in the stores, and won't be no Amazon deliveries or FedEx or Ops. So I just throwing that out there.
Yeah, you wonder what we're going to do. Listen, this has already happened in Italy. The latest out of Italy is today. I mean, they had already, you know, closed a lot of tourist areas. The whole country was under quarantine. Today, the Italian prime minister announced that they're closing all the shops in Italy. The shops, the restaurants, and the only thing that's allowed to remain open are grocery stores and drugstores in Italy. All the other shops and bars and pubs and restaurants all being shut down. That's incredible, you know?
Yes, it is. Oh. I also wanted to say, me and my son, both, we are roadshare drivers,
mm-hmm.
and we're a little bit concerned. We're wiping our vehicles down with disinfectant and carrying sanitizer and tissues and... and just kind of be a little aware.
So you're like Uber or Lyft or something like that?
Yes, we both do that. Mm-hmm.
Some sort of road share. Hey, I never thought about that because you're going to be coming in contact. That's the thing that's you know, makes you a little bit uneasy when you come in contact with a stranger, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Where
my
has
son does a lot of it. It picks up a lot of people from the airport.
Yeah. Where are these people coming from? Who have they touched? Mm-hmm. Who have they shaken hands with, you know, in the past day or so? Had word this morning that Tom Hanks, the actor, and his wife both tested positive for the COVID-19. They're in Australia.
Yes, I heard.
Filming a movie, and they're now in isolation for, wow. My first thought on that, I don't mean to make light of it, but you know, we need to chuckle a little bit on a day like this. My first thought was, what the heck is Tom Hanks doing making a movie about Elvis Presley in Australia, for goodness sakes?
I don't know.
What sense does that make? Why would you go to Australia to make a movie about Elvis Presley? That seems ridiculous.
Yeah. He's such a good actor. He seems like such a good person. I wish him the best.
Well, the last I heard, they were just a little bit uncomfortable, you know. Nothing too serious, and I certainly hope it doesn't. And for a lot of people, that's all that it is. But, you know, for a lot of other people, too, it's deadly, so.
Yeah,
very, sure. Very surreal day, isn't it? Very, very, very unusual day this Thursday.
Yes, you're just not sure what you should do.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call. Good to talk with you.
Thank you, Dave.
Sure. Good to talk about these things a little bit, huh? Yeah. Yeah. You know, we're not gonna solve the world's problems, but it's good to talk about it a little bit, right? Especially if you don't have anybody to talk to here today. Well, you've got us. 283-2525 is our number. 283-2525. So we've heard from the NCAA with all of the, this is what they, what do they call this? Champions Week or Conference Week or something like that. All the big conferences, the Big Ten, the Atlantic Coast Conference, they all play their tournaments this week. And, you know, they're like 4 or 5 days in a row that they play basketball. Those have all been suspended? Said they've all been canceled? Was that the latest word from, I'm getting communication here from Pat Parker sitting across the glass from me in the WISR main studio. So those have been canceled. Still going to play March Madness next week. That's the latest on that. But with no spectators, that's going to be goofy. You really have to doubt whether that's going to happen. That the reason that it seems that sports are so much in the forefront here is because these people travel. You know, professional sports teams, they play a game in Boston, the next night they're in Cleveland, the next night they're in, or 2 nights later they're in Los Angeles. You know, they're all over the place. And that's what, you know, whether it's National Basketball Association, National Hockey League, the Penguins are supposed to play tonight in Columbus. No update on that yet. I heard that the NHL, the last I heard, they were supposed to have some sort of a meeting at 1 o'clock this afternoon to decide if the Penguins play tonight, we'll have the game here on WISR. It's going to sound goofy because if they do play, there won't be any fans. It'll be an empty arena. I don't know whether that game's going to come off or not. So you've got the NBA, the basketball, the NHL, the hockey. You have to wonder about baseball. You know, they're playing games that don't even count. They're practice games. Does it make any sense for them to continue with games that don't even count? You know, the players are all in either Florida or Arizona, whether it's Grapefruit League or Cactus League. They're already there. Just keep them there, you know. Work out a little bit. Play practice games within your own team. Hit grounders to each other. Hit fungos to the outfielders. Remember when you used to do that? Those of you who played baseball, Little League or Pony League or whatever. Why travel around? Why risk it? 283-2525, our number. It's Open Talk. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi.
Yes. Hello. Go right ahead.
I just wanted to mention that I'm kind of like the elderly lady. I do not have a computer. I don't do, you know, the internet kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I am relying on the radio and television.
That's good.
Paper,
that's the best thing.
You know,
yeah, that's the most accurate thing. That's for sure.
Figuring out what to do. And it's kind of, Dave, I'm kind of between things. I'm thinking, well, gee, I live alone. I have had no strange people in my home, just family who come to check on me. I have had contact with a granddaughter who is home from Penn State, and one had been home from Michigan. She's back now, for their spring break is over. But the one from Penn State was supposed to go back today, but my daughter called and informed me that they don't want them to return.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, and so I'm thinking to myself, it is a problem, Dave. I mean, they talk about washing your hands and this kind of thing. Gee, I've always done that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I've always had disinfectant sprays to use in the kitchen.
Well, let me tell you this. Don't worry too much. Keep up to date on the news. You know, don't worry yourself to death. But you know, but we're all concerned. You know, we're all a little bit uneasy.
Right.
But
Well, that's what I'm trying to do. As I said, the lady who spoke with you, I believe, said she was 70. I happen to be 88. I don't have any health problems. Then, you know, normal, some high blood pressure, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have any problems with my lungs that I am aware of. I got my flu shot, although I understand now that that's kind of has nothing to do with virus.
That's a different story.
The only thing that's confusing to me is if we think about it, Dave, I mean, so they keep the grocery stores open, but, I mean, the people who are stocking are handling the boxes and things that are put on the shelves.
I hear you.
You've got yourself crazy trying to figure out, you know, produce.
You can't do that.
When you wash that kind of thing, but let's face it, we're all going to come in contact with something that's been handled by somebody who's perhaps not has this coronavirus, but who's ill.
Yeah.
So,
It seems like it's unavoidable, I know.
It puts you in a quandary kind of thing.
Well, listen, take care of yourself. I've got to move along here today, but good to talk to you. Take care of yourself, okay?
Okay. Bye.
Okay, sure. Bye-bye. 283-2525. We take a break. We're back with more of the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words.
The weather is starting to pick back up, and so are the deals at Osterling's Lawn and Garden. During the month of March, all Evolved Harvest and Imperial Whitetail food plot mixes are 50% off. Osterling's is now taking orders for asparagus, horseradish, and rhubarb roots. Plus, onion bulbs, garlic, and shallots will be arriving soon. Stock up on all your spring supplies like vegetable and herb seeds, seed starter fertilizer, planter trays, heat mats, grow light kits, and more. They've got everything you'll need at Osterling's Lawn and Garden.
Hi, this is Dave Malarkey. I'd like to talk to you for just a moment here about the good folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here at Butler. What a great job they do to help those who are less fortunate in many ways. They operate the St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank, of course. They have their St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store in the Greater Butler Mart and their Client Aid Program. And the Client Aid Program helps needy families or individuals, you know, maybe with help on a heating bill or a rent payment at the end of the month. Client Aid. And that's funded through the operation of the thrift store. So you can help by donating items that you no longer need or want to the thrift store. It's very easy to do. Drop-off bins are right inside the door. You can use the container outside. They're located in the Greater Butler Mart. So think about it. Next time you're cleaning the closet or the upstairs, instead of throwing that stuff away, why not donate it to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler? We stand tallest when we stoop to help others. Hope we'll talk for just a while yet. 283-2525 is our number. Almost hate to look at the stock market numbers because it's just no good news there. Just check the Dow Jones is now down 1,400 points today, but even that's an improvement. Late this morning, it was down 2,000 points. So the Dow right now, just over 22,000. Back in mid-February, it was up near 30,000. What a drop, huh? Wow. And, you know, for all of you with a 401k plan or an IRA or whatever, that's that's sobering. And in some cases, you know, if you're near retirement, it could be devastating. Let's hope that that recovers before it. Let's hope it stops falling, first of all, and then recovers. Yeah, right now, the Dow's down just over 1,400 points. Actually, I had to stop trading for a while yesterday. It was dropping so fast. 283-2525 is our number. Open talk on this segment of the It's Your Turn program. Coming up in a short time, we're going to be chatting with historian and author Samuel Kleiner. The story of the Flying Tigers, who waged a secret war against Japan. The Flying Tigers were the U.S. Army Air Corps fighter jets. They had the jaws of a shark painted on the nose of the plane. Have you ever seen pictures of those? Flying Tigers. I can remember when I was a kid, I put together a model of one of those planes, a Flying Tiger plane. Had those, I don't know, do they still have models? I haven't looked in the hobby aisle or the toy aisle lately. But when I was a kid, they had plastic models you could glue together. You know, there were 1,000 parts. They had ships and planes and everything. Put them together. Put decals on them. Yeah, I did that for a couple of years. Well, anyway, that's another story for another day. We'll be hearing from Sam Kleiner about the Flying Tigers a little bit later on the program here today. 283-2525 is our number right now. Did you watch the president's address from the Oval Office last night? I did. Wasn't real long. We had about 10 minutes or so. President Trump addressing the nation on what he plans to do. One thing that he did was immediately announce a ban on people coming into the United States from the European Union, from any European country except for Britain and Ireland. And that takes effect. Tomorrow is supposed to take effect. Wow. Huh? Wow. 283-2525. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Hi.
I was just going to say, these are really troubling and scary times, and I really feel comforted by having you guys there, because I'm alone, too, and it's just, you're part of my routine every day. Like, I turn on the news, I eat my breakfast, turn on It's Your Turn. So it's good to have other people to talk to about it when you get frustrated or anxious. To talk it out with somebody else is a really good thing. And just, I appreciate you guys being there a lot.
Well, I'm glad you. And that's one reason why I wanted to open up the phones and talk about it today.
I'm glad you did. I really am. I think it helps, you know, lots of people are alone, and it really is good to talk to other people, and I'm really glad that you did.
I know, I couldn't help myself today when we, of course, when I come to work, you know, I'm one of the first people to get here in the morning because I've got to do the 5:30 news, but as more and more people began to drift into the station, you know, you had to talk with somebody. I mean, that's the first thing we did. And I was just thinking today, what are we going to do on the program? And I thought, well, there's got to be a lot of people out there who haven't had anybody to talk to about this today.
Right,
so let's let them, you know, express their feelings a little bit. Or just talk to somebody, you know.
Right, exactly. Great show. It is surreal. It is just like, what's going to happen next? You know, like, almost our life as we know it is not quite, but almost, you know, it's kind of exploding in front of us. But
you're correct. I thought of that as I was watching Trump last night on TV. First of all, did you see his speech last night, or did you hear it?
I did.
he seemed so, I don't know whether it was just me, it seemed so weird. It was just, I don't know.
Well, I think he was reading, and he was being really robotic about it. there was no feeling behind it whatsoever.
That was the sensation that I got as well. In fact, I began to wonder if he was okay. It just sounded so strange.
Yeah, I know. Like, after a while, I just went, and walked away. I'm like, it was like he was a robot or something, really.
This whole thing is like, and I've found myself asking myself this several times over the last 24 hours. This is like a movie, you know?
Yeah, it is. Like,
or a bad dream or something, you know?
Yeah, like, you know, when it started happening in China, it was scary enough. But then we all knew, you know, we're like, it's just a plane right away, and it was. It's very dissettling. And
well, I'm glad we were able to talk with you even for a few minutes today. I hope that
yeah,
helps.
Thank you for doing that. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate you every day.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hopefully we'll be able to talk again tomorrow. We're in a state of flux here, too. We don't know. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow in terms of guests. We just don't know. So hopefully we'll be able to chat again on the Friday edition. Tomorrow's Friday, right? Yeah, Friday edition. Okay. We take a break. We're going to talk with Samuel Kleiner about the Flying Tigers coming up on the next segment of It's Your Turn right after these words.
Bus. Leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way. Getting there stops here. Just hop the bus. Easy and economical. Just hop the bus. No car, no problem. The bus will get you there. 'Cause that's what we do. Hop the bus. Leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
Tri-Rivers 2020. Focus on your musculoskeletal health.
I'm Dr. Robert Waltrip, a shoulder specialist at Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers. New technology has revolutionized shoulder replacement surgery and allows precise placement of components to optimize patient outcomes. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, please visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Going to be talking about some World War II history that maybe many people might not be aware of here on the It's Your Turn program on WISR. Next, listeners, if you're just joining us, I'm Dave Malarkey. Our special guest is Samuel Kleiner, who joins us by telephone. Samuel Kleiner is the author of a book entitled The Flying Tigers, The Untold Story of American Pilots Who Waged a Secret War Against Japan. Sam, nice to meet you. Great to have you with us for a few minutes here on the program today.
Thank you so much for having me. Thrilled to be here with you.
Yes, this was a secret war, a covert operation, and this was before Pearl Harbor, so you know, the whole operation would probably have scandalized an isolationist U.S. population at that time, would you say?
Absolutely, and that's one of the fascinating things about this book is that we tend to think of World War II as starting on December 7th, 1941, with the attack on Pearl Harbor, but really what this book is about the conflict that precedes that, and that's an area that really interested me. So the story picks up with the story of Claire Chennault, who's an Army stunt pilot, who leaves the U.S. in 1937 and goes to fight with the Chinese Air Force in the war that begins between Japan and China. And so it's just a fascinating story, really, about starting with this group of mercenaries that are fighting against the Japanese 4 years before America gets involved with World War II.
Yes, and once again, unless you're really familiar with World War II history, you might not realize or remember that Japan was at war with China long before Pearl Harbor, so that had been going on for a while. And Claire Chennault, is that how you pronounce his name? Chennault, am I correct?
Yeah, that's how you pronounce his name. And you're absolutely right. And I think when most Americans think of World War II, we think of the D-Day landings in Normandy, or we think of the flag raising in Iwo Jima, but we don't think of China as part of the war. And China's been referred to as the forgotten ally from World War II. And I think it's important that we think about that alliance, particularly in light of everything that's happening today in the news. And this helps to shed some light on the relationship between the U.S. and China. But at its core, this book is really an adventure story. This is about a group of young American men and some women who decide to kind of give up everything they know to take up the chance to go to China and participate in this secret operation. And they go over in 1941 before Pearl Harbor, and then launch into battle in December 20th, 1941 is their first battle against the Japanese over the city of Kunming, China, and they shoot down a number of Japanese bombers. And amidst all of the news about the destruction of Pearl Harbor, the series of American losses across the Pacific, and the fear of an invasion of the West Coast, this small group of ragtag pilots quickly become the foremost story about America at war. Hollywood rushes out the John Wayne movie in 1942, The Flying Tigers, and they help boost America's morale and make Americans believe they can win this war. But the story's really been forgotten, and so what I've been doing the past couple years is uncovering it through finding the families of the Tigers, meeting the last surviving Flying Tiger himself, and going through reams of combat reports, diaries, letters, to tell the story in a way that's authentic, and you can really hear the voices of the participants in it.
Mm-hmm. I can remember when I was a kid, Samuel Kleiner, there were a couple of years there where I was building model airplanes, and there were a couple of companies that put them out. They were plastic, and it was a kit, and, you know, you really didn't need to be all that smart to put them together. But I built one of those planes. Was it a P-40? Is that what it was, a Flying Tiger?
Absolutely. It's a Curtis Wright P-40 built up in Buffalo, New York. It became one of the most iconic images of America at war. It wasn't a fantastic plane, but it was what Chenault had to use, what they were given. And so they had 100 of them. And they would do anything they could to kind of keep those planes flying. And they obviously, you know, had some pretty serious action and would lose planes. And when I talked to the last surviving Flying Tiger, Frank Lozansky, who was a crew chief, he talks about how they had a graveyard, essentially, of downed planes. And when they needed a part, they would go scavenge around to find something. So it was really, this kind of can-do spirit that animated the group and to keep the plane flying.
Even if you're not familiar with the various aircraft of World War II, you've probably seen a picture of this one, folks, because it had a very rather distinctive paint job on the nose. Right, Samuel?
Absolutely, yes. It's this very famous image of the shark-faced plane. It's funny, I feel like I now see that design all over on backpacks and T-shirts, and it's definitely one of the most iconic images of America at war. So this is definitely a unit that I think a lot of listeners will be familiar with. But at its core, the book is about, you know, saying who are the pilots and the people behind this mission. And I wanted to really discover that. And one of the best parts of writing this book was the fact that I came along at a time when there were only a couple of surviving Tigers left. And they have these annual reunions that I was invited to as a historian, one of the first historians to go to these. And got, you know, just documents of all different kinds about the unit from the family members. And to have a relationship with the last surviving Tiger has meant the world to me, and was able to go down to Columbus, Georgia a couple weeks ago where he lives and give him the final copy of the book and to assure him that this history will live on for future generations. Wow. And with Memorial Day approaching, I think it's an important book as well because so many of these men didn't make it home. And the book honors their legacy. I think of a pilot from Iowa named Bill Reed, who wrote in his diary about how his trip across the Pacific was the first time he'd been on a body of water bigger than a lake back home. And he had an amazing tenure with the unit and then was ultimately killed in 1945. And his memory hasn't really, you know, been honored in the way that I think it should be. So this book is trying to kind of bring their stories to the forefront.
When these approximately 300 young American men and women who were secretly recruited from the armed services to go over there to China, did they travel under their own identities, or was this really a covert operation that they have to go under false names?
It's a great question, and they would travel under passports that were issued under their own names, but listing false professions. So they would oftentimes be going on these ships with passports that listed them as missionaries. And so that led to some funny encounters along the way with other people because they couldn't say, you know, that they're U.S. Army pilots who've left and are now part of a covert mission to go over and fight against the Japanese because America and Japan were still at war. There was a lot of secrecy around the operation, but quickly the word got out, and so this almost threatened to start a war with Japan even before Pearl Harbor. But I think the reader will learn a lot about kind of the history of that period and the various different kinds of international intrigue that were going on. And that's what I think is so compelling about this period of history is, you know, there's kind of the history you learn as a kid in, you know, the classroom from your history teacher, but there's so much more going on behind the scenes that we don't really talk about. And this is what this book is really about. If you're, you know, an avid history buff, you don't need to know a great deal about World War II or World War II planes at all. But this is just one of those fascinating adventure stories.
One of those things that you have to know to really understand this is that prior to Pearl Harbor, the U.S. was maintaining a position of isolation with regard to the World War. It had already started, of course. Japan had invaded China. Hitler had occupied much of Europe. But the United States, there was not a lot of anti-war sentiment in the United States, and we really didn't mobilize either literally or figuratively until after Pearl Harbor, right, Samuel?
Absolutely. We really didn't tackle the issue of getting into these wars, but Roosevelt was trying to secretly or covertly do things to assist the Allies where he could, helping the British, sending over 50 destroyers, helping the Chinese through this secret program. And so Roosevelt, and I think he emerges as one of the most fascinating characters in some way, because he's trying to maintain U.S. official neutrality as a position, but also kind of moving America closer to war as he's aiding the Allies. And obviously this is essentially an act of war, sending over Americans to fight against the Japanese. But it was done in this very clandestine way, using shell companies to move the ship, to move the planes. And there's that kind of covert operation that sets the stage for covert operations that will happen decades later. Mm. And in fact, after the war, Claire Chennault becomes the founder of an airline called CAT that would fly around Southeast Asia, and it was generally seen as a commercial airline. But in fact, it was secretly owned by the CIA and was helping them to carry out covert operations around Southeast Asia, including some early missions in Vietnam. So you kind of see how this story takes us through, you know, kind of the founding of the modern era of covert operations.
Wow.
So as we think about U.S. foreign policy today, I think there's a lot we can learn from this.
I didn't know any of that. That's fascinating. A quick break, listeners. Fortunately, we have some more time to chat with Samuel Kleiner, author of The Flying Tigers, The Untold Story of the American Pilots Who Waged a Secret War Against Japan. Quick break, and then back with more here on It's Your Turn on WISR.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
West End Tire and Service carries tires for everything from cars, trucks, SUVs, and ATVs to heavy-duty trucks, skid loaders, and even farm vehicles. And now, through March 19th, get $10 off every in-stock snow tire you purchase. Whether you're looking for a more aggressive tire for the rest of the season or you just want to get a head start on next winter, you don't want to miss this deal. Stop by and see your friends at West End Tire and Service, West Cunningham Street in Butler, next to Battery Warehouse. Give them a call at 724-283-6973.
I can't remember the last time I went to the dentist. Now I'm too embarrassed to go because my teeth are in such bad condition.
Unfortunately, this person is not alone. Many folks put off going to the dentist because they fear being scolded for neglecting their teeth. This is Dr. Bob Todd with a special message. Dentistry today is faster, easier, and better than ever before. At our dental office, we don't believe in making you feel guilty, no matter how long it has been since you've seen a dentist. We know fear and embarrassment can cause a cycle of procrastination. If it has been years since you've been to the dentist, call us today. We will help put your mind at ease and bring your smile back to health.
If you hate going to the dentist but know you have a dental problem, help is only a phone call away. Dr. Bob Todd and his friendly dental team will answer all your questions and care for all your concerns. For complimentary information or to schedule an appointment at their Butler office on Evan City Road, please call 282-7774 or on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Welcome back. I'm Dave Malarkey. You're listening to It's Your Turn here on WISR. Our guest on this segment is historian and author Samuel Kleiner. His latest book is The Flying Tigers, The Untold Story of the American Pilots Who Waged a Secret War Against Japan. Where did these, I assume there was a central gathering place, Samuel, for these 300 young American men and women when they secretly went overseas? Were they all generally in the same place in Southeast Asia somewhere? Were they based somewhere?
Yes, it's a wonderful question. So many of these guys meet up in San Francisco, and they go over on different ocean liners, actually very luxurious ocean liners where they're traveling in civilians. And they arrive in Burma, which is at the time a British colony nestled up against China, and they go to a remote base near a town called Tongo. And so it's basically in the middle of the jungle. They have monkeys living with them in the barracks. They go hunting in the jungle. And it's by all accounts kind of, you know, just like it's a pretty raucous time. They're drinking a lot. Chenault is training them on how to use the P-40s, but otherwise doesn't care too much about normal army discipline measures. So they have a pretty wild time up until Pearl Harbor, and then they quickly have to, you know, formulate together as a unit, come together, and take on these missions. So their fighting mostly occurs in Burma, helping to defend the British colony in concert with the Chinese, and so they're down in Rangoon, which is where a lot of the battle happens, and then they're also up in Kunming, China, which is hard to describe how devastated the Chinese felt after 4 years of bombing by the Japanese. And then to have these American planes basically coming out of nowhere and stopping the Japanese bombardment just was an incredible thing for them to be able to do. So a lot of the story is kind of, you know, these action-packed combat scenes in Burma and China. And one thing that I was able to do was to find the original combat reports that the pilots filled out every day after their battles. And those helped to show on a daily basis the incredible fighting they were doing. But those had basically been lost because they didn't end up in the National Archives because this was a covert operation, and instead ended up in a basement in Washington, D.C., basically gathering dust. And through one of the family members was able to track them down and to, for the first time, kind of tell the full story of what the Tigers did.
A little bit about our guest listeners. Sam Kleiner is a historian, obviously. He's a lawyer as well, based in New York. Doctorate in international relations from Oxford over in England. Got his law degree from Yale. And I understand, Samuel, it was while you were studying at Yale that you stumbled across a collection of love letters that relate to this story. Can you expand on that a little bit for us?
Absolutely, and it's one of my favorite finds about this whole book is to really be able to have a female protagonist is so wonderful. When I was at Yale for law school, in a basement archive, stumbled across a collection of love letters between a nurse and a pilot in the unit, and these were old, crinkled pages when the handwriting was fading. But they told the story of how this young nurse, who's actually from Pennsylvania, she grew up near the Penn State campus and went to college there, then went and signed up for the Flying Tigers as one of the handful of nurses they had with the unit. And on the way over, she met a pilot, John Petek, who's from New Jersey, and they fell in love. And so it's this ordinary love story in a certain sense, but the setting is incredible. They're in the midst of the opening months of World War II, and they would go on these long bike rides together, and then they were separated during the conflict because they were in different parts of where the Tigers were fighting, and they would write these letters back and forth to each other. And that was one of the things when I found that, I just knew that this story needed to be written because it's just such an incredible human story. And so there's these previously unpublished pictures of them in the book, and it really helps to tell the human side of that story.
I agree. So many times history books, and I'm a history buff, but they're kind of dry sometimes unless you have that human element, and you really have captured
absolutely
that.
And the book was just out a week ago, but the most, and I've gotten a lot of really great, wonderful feedback on it, and the most meaningful to me is when I hear from family members of the Flying Tigers, including some of the Tigers who'd been killed, and so they hadn't gotten to meet much of their family, and just got a note yesterday from a cousin of one of them who said, you know, for the first time I really can understand what George went through. Talking about her cousin, George McMillan, who was a pilot from Florida who was with the Tigers and was later killed during the war in China. And using his letters, I was able to really tell, you know, the human perspective of what these pilots were going through.
You mentioned earlier in our conversation, Samuel Kleiner, that you were able to deliver a copy of your book to one of the last surviving pilots somewhere down south, did you say?
Yeah, so Frank Lozonski is one of the characters in the book. He was a mechanic originally from Detroit and just an incredible person. So he's 98 years old, and we've become close friends through the process of writing this book and having many conversations about his experience. And was just down with him a couple weeks ago to deliver the book, and it just meant the world for me to be able to assure him that the story was going to be told. And we actually had a crew from CNN with us, and they'll be doing a profile of Frank and of, you know, our relationship and the book that'll be on coming out on Memorial Day on Jake Tapper's show.
I am pretty well read on European theater operations in World War II. It's been a fascinating bit of research for me over the past several years. I know that combat reports were prepared after every operation, sometimes after every battle. Were you able to obtain any of those, or did they write any of those from these covert operations?
Yeah, so that's actually been one of the best finds, and no one's really been able to see these before. But the combat reports were written, but they didn't end up in the National Archives where you would normally find them. Instead, they ended up in this basement in Georgetown in Washington, D.C. Actually, it seems like Claire Chennault took them home after the war. And so they were basically just gathering dust, and I was able to get in and see those. And that uncovered just a huge amount of insight that I'm able to give on what these battles were actually like as the pilots experienced them.
Do you know Claire Chennault was from Louisiana? After World War II, I assume he came back to the States. Do you know if he was involved in anything else prior to his death?
Well, it's a fascinating question. He came back. There's a huge homecoming parade for him that I talk about in the book in Louisiana, and he was bitter at the end of the war because he hadn't been kind of invited to go on the USS Missouri to see the Japanese surrender after he'd been fighting them for 8 years. Mm. And by that time, he'd been gone so long that he felt more at home in China than he did in Louisiana. So he ended up going back and basically spending the rest of his life serving Chiang Kai-shek and Madame Chiang. He remarried a Chinese woman, Anna Chennault, who I was able to interview, and who passed away just a couple months ago, and was involved in these kind of covert operations throughout Southeast Asia. So he was deeply involved in this airline called CAT that was owned by the CIA and was doing missions throughout Southeast Asia. So he had a fascinating life and died in 1958.
Mm. I have to hearken back, and I'll mention this to listeners, especially younger ones, who, because we've been talking a lot about China. It was a different regime in China back then. Samuel Kleiner has mentioned that Chiang Kai-shek several times. when the communists took over Chiang Kai-shek's government, was they ended up on Formosa. Am I correct on that? I'm trying to remember from,
Your history is absolutely right. So there's an ongoing civil war between the communists and the nationalists, and the Chiangs lead the nationalists. And the war is kind of quiet during World War II because they're both kind of fighting against the Japanese. And so Chenault actually does have a relationship with the communists. The communists would rescue downed American pilots. There's another communist leader in the area, Ho Chi Minh, who was really kind of a nationalist leader in Vietnam or Indochina, as it was known. And Chenault met with him because he was helping to save downed American pilots, and gave him an autographed photograph and some Colt pistols. And Ho Chi Minh was known to show off this picture of Chenault because it showed that he had the backing of the Americans. Of course, America later goes to war with Ho Chi Minh in the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of fascinating to see the various iterations of these different groups. And there's a lot of history that you kind of soak up if you read the book, just because it's, you know, the context in which these men are living their lives.
Yes, and we see how it played out in some cases decades later with Ho Chi Minh in Vietnam. One final question, Sam. Our time runs short here. How did you get interested in World War II history? How did that all come about?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with my grandfather was a navigator on a B-25 on the Pacific, and growing up just hearing his stories and going out to the Pima Air and Space Museum where I grew up in Tucson, Arizona, just always kind of nurtured my interest in this period in history. So it's very personal for me to have this out, and fortunately both my grandfathers are still living, so I can have this book to show to them as well. It just means the world to me to be able to get this story out, and especially around Memorial Day, I think it's an important story for us to delve into.
It's a great book, listeners. The title is The Flying Tigers, The Untold Story of the American Pilots Who Waged a Secret War Against Japan Before Pearl Harbor. The author is Samuel Kleiner. He's been our guest here on It's Your Turn. Samuel, boy, great to have you with us. Fascinating story. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Hope you enjoyed.
Yes, I did indeed.